I think today we're in for a real treat. We have two ladies with us this morning, both of whom are working among the Wolof people in Senegal. The first lady I want to introduce is Felawine Fall, and she is a Senegalese national. She's well known in the Senegalese church there. She's been involved with a mission agency in Senegal called Mission Inner Senegal. She's worked with World Vision in Senegal, and she's also been part of the Operation Christmas Child, distribution of the boxes for children at Christmas time, and other things that I'm sure I'm not even aware of, Felawine. She's traveled around the world and spoken in many churches, been in many states in the U.S., I think maybe more states than I've been in the U.S. She's well-traveled and well-respected and is a real leader, and it's a blessing to have her with us this morning. One thing you may not know, and she won't share too much about this morning, she's a great storyteller. So if you can get her to tell you a story, you'll be in for a treat. And she makes great ataya, which is the tea that they drink in Senegal. And if you come to our gathering, we'll tell you more about later, she's going to show Pastor Tom the correct way to make ataya. So, yeah. He already knows, he says. Sure. The second lady I have the privilege of introducing this morning is Joanna Besky. Joanna is an American missionary serving with Pioneers, which is a mission agency headquartered in Orlando. Joanna has served among the Wolof people for over 13 years. She is a leader, not only among the Wolof believers there, but also in her organization, Pioneers. She is a wonderful lady. She, right now, in the midst of all of her busyness with ministry, is pursuing a doctoral degree using Bible stories to help reach and disciple Wolof women. So she's a great storyteller and developing in that as well. And it's been my privilege to kind of partner in that because we both share that love for storying, as does Felawine. One thing you need to know about Joanna is this. She loves coffee, dark coffee. So if you really want to make friends with Joanna, invite her out for coffee, buy her a cup of coffee, you're in. So with that, let's give a warm welcome to our friends from Senegal, Joanna and Felawine.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Nanga def?
Mangi fi.
Alhamdulillah. Ana wa kerga?
Ya
nga fa. Sa yaram jam?
Jam rek.
We speak very fast in Senegal, much faster than PowerPoints. Yo, no to do?
Man, filmin lak.
Ah, jejef.
Mangi dem.
Yangi dem. Okay. What you just heard is a typical Wolof greeting. The Wolof culture is very relational, and so it's important when we interact with one another that we take the time to stop and ask about our families, ask about how we spent the night, how the last meal you ate was. And if you see this person several times throughout the day, you still take the time to stop and ask them those questions again and again, because you never know, it might change. Lunch might have been great, but dinner not so much. I don't know. But so it's a very collective society, very relational. Senegal is located in the westernmost point of the continent of Africa. So we're that little bump that sticks out. It brings us a little closer to the East Coast as well, which is where I'm from. Senegal is predominantly Muslim, 99.9% Muslim. We are fortunate, though, that we have freedom to be there as missionaries and as Christians, although the country is predominantly Muslim. The Wolof people, there are 4.5 million in Senegal and some surrounding areas, and of those 4.5 million, to date, there are only 150 known believers. There may be more that have not professed that out loud yet, but right now, it's a very small percentage of believers. But I'm excited to hear that number because when I left in 2000, I was told that there were only about 30 or 40. So we've tripled in the last 13 years. But like we sang today, God is able. And you think of that statistic and you think there is no way, but God is able. The one who spoke and brought everything into being, the one who created that rainbow, promises that one day every nation, tongue, and tribe will stand around his throne. So we're believing together that the Wolof people will come to Christ, and not only come to Christ, but be mobilized to reach other people groups in West Africa. So this morning, we want to introduce you to a few of our friends, and we're going to start with Felloween herself.
So, good morning again. Yeah. So my name is Felloween, and I'm married with Malik, is my husband, and we have three sons, Antoine, Jeremy, and Enoch. So today, the first story I want to tell you is my story, the way that God bring me to his wonderful plan. So I was a young girl of 13 years old. I just finished primary school, and I had to start,
middle school.
Yeah, middle school. But it was far from our house. And I have to say, I come from a family of 15 children, two wives. That's normal in Senegal. And because of means, one of our neighbors who had a motorcycle give me a ride every morning so that I can go to school. And one Friday, when we were coming back from school, I was sitting on the back of his motorcycle. We had an accident. So a car just hit us, and you know, I fall down, and I had my leg broken and my knee open. So they took me to the hospital, and I had a surgery that day, but for the next 3 days, I did not get any medical care. And the reason why was that my mom was not able to give a bribe to the doctor. And because of that, I had a very bad infection on my knee. And until today, I'm suffering. I have arthritis on that knee. And that really affects me, you know, as a little girl. But some days later, one of my sisters came to the hospital to see me, but she was with a friend. And this friend was a missionary. And she just, you know, see me laying down all day long, and she asked me if I want some books to read. And I just loved that idea. So the next week, she came, and then she brings me books. It was a series of six books. It was the Bible on a cartoon mode. And I just started reading this book, and when I get to the New Testament, I was so impressed by this man who was healing people for free. Because that was not normal. You know, even in my country, in my culture, if you go to see a religious leader and ask him to pray for you, you have to pay something for that. And because of that, I said to myself, I want to know more about Jesus. Some weeks later, I had to go back to home to leave the hospital, but the missionaries just asked my parents if they can take care of me, because they knew that I had to go back to the hospital and I need some care, and my parents were not able to do that. So my father said, yes, she can stay with you, but I don't want my daughter to read your book. So I went there, but they had a kids club every Wednesday. And at that time, it was for Easter. They had a big
competition.
Yeah, competition. And the first prize would be something and a Bible. So I decided that I will do my best to win my Bible, because I want to read this book and know more about Jesus. So that I do my best and I win the first prize. And it was a jump rope and a Bible. So I stayed there, and I started reading the Bible and asking the question, and that I just discovered that I am a sinner. And the reason why that was new to me is that in Islam, we are taught that if you were, you know, a child, God does not care about you. But the Bible tells me something very different. You were a sinner. Everything you did, you know, bad, is a sin. So that I just continued to read the Bible and ask the question, and I discovered that God sent Jesus to die in the cross to pay for my sin. And without thinking of what will happen to me, I just give my life to Jesus that day. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And, you know, days goes, and I just start having problems at school, in my family, with my friends, because I did something not normal. I believe something different. So, but the, the hardest thing for me was when I was ready to get married with my husband. And my father and my mom, they said, you can't do that. You have to marry a Muslim man, have children, and raise them on Islam. But that was not what God asked me to do. But on an amazing way, God just provide a solution. So I get married with my husband, but for 5 years, the relationship with my parents was broken. You know, my children were not able to go to my parents' house. But during that time, I just continued to love them, to support them, to help them. And again, in an amazing way, God just bring back all the relationship that I lose with my family. And today, most of the time, when I'm traveling, you know, speaking in churches, my mom will travel 5 hours and stay with my children. And all my brothers and sisters, they want, they like to send their children to stay in my house with my family. And they know we are Christian. They know our lives. So this is what our God is able to do. So today I want to ask you to pray specially for my family. We travel a lot, you know, we're here and there with my husband, sometimes all of us, you know, teaching, discipling the wall of believers around the country. And we really, we will appreciate you to pray for Lord's protect us and strengthen us during these travels. And also, our sons, they will start school next week, and we want you to pray for them because it's a big challenge for them. Most of the time, they are the only believer in the school of maybe 300, 500 kids. And especially for our oldest son, Antoine, he will finish high school this year, but he's not very sure what to do next.
Before I share about Sohna, I just want to say something about Felloween's sons and some of the other children who are believers. We now have second generation Christians. You know, here we can think back to, you know, my grandparents and their grandparents and grandparents, but it's happening right now that we're witnessing the second generation, and we're praying. I teased Antoine that I was going to bring a wife back for him. But we need to be praying for the youth and the young adults that they, like Felloween and Malik found each other, would find Christian spouses, and we would have third, fourth, fifth generation of believers among the Wolof. So Sohna Fatu, Sohna is a dear friend of ours, and she is from the village of Haryala, the village that Gateway has partnered with. Sohna was one of the first women that was part of our women's group there. We were invited to come and teach some handcrafts, and we told them that we were believers and that while we teach the handcrafts, we would also tell the stories of God's holy books. Sohna Fatu is one of the first women to show up at the group, and she's one of the last ones to leave. And she's the one, I think, that has grasped the stories the greatest, and we ask someone to repeat them. She always... always is asking to go first, and sometimes she's so hungry to share that we actually have to say, let's let somebody else try. Sohna showed a spiritual interest and a hunger and a thirst to understand more about who God is, this God of the Bible that we were teaching. She's one of the few women, Wolof women, who is able to read, and so we were able to give her a Bible. But she was afraid her husband would see it and her family. She is one of four wives in that household, and she's, I think, either the third or the fourth. So not very high up in the authority realm in her household. And so she hid her Bible amongst her clothes and personal things, and when no one was looking, would take it out and would read it and study it, and then come back to us and ask questions and really want to know more. Recently, she has made a profession of faith, and she wants to share her faith more. Her husband noticed after a while that she was no longer doing the Muslim prayers 5 times a day, and quite often that is how the family will discover that someone has become a Christian, is they'll notice that their Muslim practices have changed. And he questioned her about it, and she said, "Yes, I believe in Jesus of the Bible." And he kicked her out of the house. She and the other wives and children were all in one home, and he made her sleep outside in the courtyard for a period of time and said, "You can't come back in until you revert to Islam." Fortunately, things changed, and she remains a believer, and her husband has brought her back into the house and allows her to be there. Another exciting thing about Sohna, speaking of Muslim practices, recently, a couple months ago, was the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting. And generally during that month, the women are so busy with the activities that we have to cut back on our women's groups during that month and do something much different. And we almost said, let's not do it at all. But she said, no, we have to keep meeting. And so Felouine and she and another believer in the village met throughout the entire time of Ramadan because they wanted to continue to study God's word. Now she's saying that she's ready to be baptized, and that's a big deal for someone who's coming out of a Muslim background. And her husband, just another story about her husband, I knew him, but I had no idea that he was one of the village elders until the team from Gateway came. And we were sitting in the chief of the village, his living room, and all these men, all the other elders came around, and her husband was one of those men. And as we were talking about what a partnership with this village would look like and the fact that we were believers and what that meant, Malik, who is a pastor, was sharing about what that means for us to be Christians. Her husband stood up and said, "These are good people, and what they are doing is good, even if we disagree about what we believe. My wife is a better woman and a better wife because of her time with this group." Really, it's because of the transformation that God has done in her life. And so I would like you to be praying for Sohna. Won't you be praying for the Lord to strengthen her faith? The opposition is so hard from her family members and for her husband. And pray for her entire family to come to know the Lord, that they can stand together and declare that they are the Lord's.
So the next story I want to share with you happens just during the month of August, during our kids' camp. And I think a lot of you knows about this kids' camp. We just have a 4 days camp with 70 children from 4 different locations in the northern Senegal. And this camp is for children who are, who have at least one member of their family who is Christian or who is seeking. So it's not open for all the children, but we just, choose some children. And this year we had a girl, her name is Mburika, and she is 14 years old. It's the first time for her to be in our camp. But she was able to be in our camp because her aunt Astu is a believer and is from our church. So during the 4 days, we learned the life of Samson. But also every day we had a time to hear the story of salvation. And every day we also had a small group discussion. And the last day, on her small group discussion, we had, in all the small group discussion, we have some question to answer every time we get together. And that day, the question was, where will you be if you die today? And in this group, we had 10 children. And I remember that 4 of them said, if I die today, I will be in heaven because I believe that Jesus paid for my sin. The 6 other children say that, if I die today, I will be on hell because I know that I am a sinner. And this is very, very important, you know, for me, that these little children clearly understood the message. Because, you know, the wall of people, they're so proud of their religion. They even, most of the time, don't, you know, think that there is something else. But these little children just realize that they are sinners and they need a savior. So suddenly, you know, during this group discussion, Borica started crying. And the lady who was leading the group just tried to, comfort her. But it doesn't work. So she calls me and I came and I try to know why is she crying. No way. So at the end, we take her to her aunt, Astu, because she was helping with the cooking. And then there, finally, we get some word from her. She said to us that, I believe and I give my life to Jesus today, but I'm just afraid of what will happen to me when I get back in my family. And why did she think, you know, of this? Why did she ask this question? The reason why is that she lives in this, you know, she belonged to Astu's family. And she see, when Astu became a Christian, her father denied her of her heritage because she is a Christian. They called her on a meeting with the religious leaders and told her that she will die in 1 year. And if not, that will show that Islam is not true. She was there when they, you know, say all these lies about Astu, when they did, you know, a lot of bad things to Astu because she is a Christian. Now she knows the truth, and she knows that she needs to go back to his family. What will happen to her when she gets back? And that really, you know, touched me. Because most of the time, you know, I know that in Senegal, among the Wolof, when we think about how that costs for, you know, what that will cost us to become a Christian, we will never take that step. So I really want you to pray for Borica. So that, and all the 70 children who was in this camp, because they were all able to hear the good news of Jesus, so that, please pray for them, so that they can stand strong in God's word. Please pray for them, so that, again, the strategy of the enemy to draw them away from God's. Because maybe when these kids go back to their family, they will tell, you know, what they hear. But for sure, their parents will tell them, this is not true. This is not for you. You don't have to believe this. But this is true. And I strongly believe on the power of God's word in our life. So please continue to pray for these 70 kids. Thank you.
I want to tell you a story about our friend Ken. Ken's name is Ken Bugul, which literally translates the one that is unloved or the one that is unwanted. And through the story, you'll hear that God transformed her into Ken Kuyalabug, the one that God loves. Part of our ministry is a girls' training center, and that training center, the girls learn sewing and cooking skills, as well as literacy and some other things. But the Department of Education has given us the authorization to teach a course called Morality. Well, for us, morality is studying Genesis through resurrection using stories. So every morning for 3 years, these girls are hearing the stories of the Old and New Testament. Ken came to the center as a young married woman with a couple children, and she was a student. And during that time, God really began to work in her heart, drawing her to himself. And so Ken, at the end of that time, was meeting with Felloween. They were studying God's word, and she said, I want to make a declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Lord also drew her to come back and be a teacher in the school. And so Ken is a teacher at the girls' school, and she's one of the teachers who does the storyings in the morning. But not just that, Ken is a leader, and we have been working with her and with other women leaders, and God put a real heart in her to reach other women, and not just the women around her, but the women in the villages. So Ken is one of the key women who is going out into the village of Haryala and doing the Bible stories and teaching the handcrafts, sitting with these women in their homes, going to their weddings, going to their funerals, spending time with them and investing in them. Ken has 9 children and a husband, and they're all my little, hey. I was just telling these stories, I'm starting to get homesick, and then seeing the pictures of these dear, dear children. Ken's husband is Muslim, and he lost his job a few years ago. He's a nurse's aide, and we have been praying and even told him that we believe that God, the God of our holy books, is able to give him a job. And so we're praying that God would reveal himself through that, as well as some of the men in the church have befriended him and are reaching out to him. Ken's children have been coming to camp. 2 of her sons have accepted the Lord, and 2 or 3 of her other children are asking questions and seeking and wanting to know more. And a couple of them just spent a few weeks in Felloween's home, just soaking all of that in. And so I want you to pray for Ken and her family. Pray for her husband to come to Christ. It's very difficult in a split family. Ken has to balance the call that God has put on her life with pleasing her husband and being submissive to him as her head, as a Muslim husband. Pray for her children as well that are seeking, and for the rest of the children, so they can stand together and say, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord.
Okay, so now I just want to bring greetings from my church in Senegal. We say that, you know, the Wolof is an unreached people group, but God is building his church. You know, in Saint Louis, it's a small town, but we have 6 families and some single, and that's not too bad. And yeah, they send their greetings and they send their thank you to you here in Gateway, because you have, you know, a role and you have your part in our ministry over there. Maybe you will never visit Senegal, but you can do something, and you were already doing something for the ministry there in Senegal. Thank you very much for your prayers, because we strongly believe that all these things are happening in Senegal among the Wolof because people like you are praying. And we met Pastor Dave and your team in January, and we started knowing one another, and we start partnering on several projects. And you can see, just, you know, when I think about the VBS, you know, what a blessing. How you bless the Wolof people. Maybe you cannot imagine providing for 4 days camp. You know, not only food and, you know, games and all these things, but giving them the opportunity to hear the good news for their life. This is really awesome. Thank you.
People have often come up to me and said, I want to pray, but I don't know how. I don't have eloquent words and, you know, fancy David-type prayers, and I don't know what to pray for. And we have some resources at the kiosk for prayer requests, but one of the things that really strikes me since I've been back in the United States is people are people. And so I'll watch a mother with their child in the grocery store having some kind of interaction about candy bar versus an apple or something, and just that whole interaction, and I think, wow, I saw that in the market in Senegal, you know, and I see people, you know, just upset about the future for their children, and what's my child going to do when they grow up, and my husband lost his job, and just the situations of life are the same. And so I would encourage you, as you pray for your children as they go off to school, pray for the children of Senegal as they go off to school. As you pray for marriages, pray for their marriages. As you pray for those who got a bad report from the doctor's office, pray for those who are struggling with health issues in Senegal. The things that are our issues, we are all the same people. And so we share the same things. And so I encourage you, as you pray for one another, to pray for the Wolof as well. And to hear more about the camp, about the village, to see some videos, to have some great food, we encourage you to come and join us for the lunch.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Kelleen. Thank you very much, Joanna. Thank you. Let's give them a hand, shall we? Fantastic. All right, Stephanie, come on up here on the platform. Will you join us, please? Listen, we talked about the partnership, and you've heard that word used many, many times, and I hope you caught the depth of Gateway's partnership with what's going on amongst this unreached people group and through what's happening on the ground in Senegal. Fellow, we talked about the camp over there. It was our children during Vacation Bible School and you that raised $3,000 to fund that. That was incredible. You've heard us talk about this wall and restroom facilities going up in this village called Hyrala, and you saw that name up there and all, sometimes referred to as XY. That's you. That's Gateway. That's part of our partnership in Senegal. And God's doing absolutely amazing things. You talked about Sonia, and we were in her home in that courtyard there and shared a meal together. And I still remember, and Joanna, you talked about that meeting with the village chief and his elders. And we were there. We were part of that. And it was absolutely incredible as God really kind of went before us and began to develop this partnership. And I still remember when the village chief says, our village is, my village is your village. And I remember what Sonia's husband said, and Malik, Philoene's husband, was sharing about who we are. And he was saying this, and he said over and over and over, he says, we're not politicians, we're Christians. We're not politicians, we're Christians. And what we learned afterwards was how important that was, because the politicians would come in and promise a lot of things but never deliver. But we're Christians. And so if we say this, this is what we're going to do. God began to develop that partnership, and we committed to doing some things, including this wall and restroom facilities and all of these things. And Gateway, you've come through incredibly, and because of what you're doing, I believe the gospel's making inroads, and we're going to see a church planted in Senegal. And when that day happens, I've said, we're going to have this huge party here at Gateway. We're going to bring you guys over, and we're going to celebrate what Jesus is doing. But Stephanie is our Wolof, what we call our Wolof champion, so she helps to direct that part of our UPGs. And Steph, there's a microphone right behind you. You got it right there. We got some things going on afterwards. So everyone's invited to that over in the fellowship hall. You want to say just a word and we'll be gone?
Yeah. So you guys just heard from our lovely ladies, Felloween and Joanna. And we have an opportunity to just kind of experience a little bit more of the Wolof culture. They shared a little bit about it, but now we can go over. We're going to have some food. We're going to have, I think, some Wolof music. And we're going to see a video of our VBS kids kind of sharing what they did, how they raised money, what they're praying for. It's adorable. You don't want to miss it. And we're going to hear a little bit more, I think, from the ladies.
Yeah, we're going to eat Senegalese food.
Yes, and like we said, have following demonstrate ataya, which ataya, is delicious.
I'm going to be a part of that because I show you how I do it. Okay, anyway, so it's a little bit of a challenge, actually. So it's going to be a wonderful time. If you're seated beside this stack of flowers, would you begin passing them down? Would you do that? I'm going to just invite all of us to for sure check that number one box. Everything that we see happening now is a result of prayer. And there's been a prayer team that has been meeting for a long time, Steph, and you've been leading that. And I believe the partnership that we now have, and I believe the doors that have opened up are a result of prayer, number one.
Can I say
yes.
I just wanted to share a thought on prayer. I loved, Joanna, what you said about people are people, and it's the same things we all struggle with, and that really helps make it practical for us. I hear, you know, people talk about personality differences, action people versus non-action people. I'm probably one of the non-action people, but I think praying probably is one of the biggest action things we can actually do. And I think in our culture, we tend to not think of it as action, but it is. I mean, you have the Bible saying, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And this is the God of power. This is the God that created everything. This is the God that died and rose again. And when we pray, that God is with us and moves in our prayers. So I would just encourage you to think of prayer as an action. I mean, it might feel like you're sitting there and just saying words, but it is powerful.
It's involved in God's work. That's the answer. Let's stand together, shall we? There's a couple more boxes there. Would you consider, Dave, Lee, being a part of the missions team?
Yeah. We have a group that's growing that meets regularly, and they have it's called the Global Missions Prayer Team. If you'd like to be part of that, just check that box. It doesn't mean you have to come to another meeting. Some of the people are doing it virtually on the computer and so on. So if you'd like to pray with that group, let us know. If you'd like to give, you know, the more money we have, the more we can do among the Wolofs. So that opportunity is there. If you check that box, we'll let you know how to make that happen. And then if you'd like to receive one of the ladies or both of their prayer letters, you can just let us know that, or go out to the kiosk and let them know directly. They'll be out there right after this service ends. And then if you just don't know, but you're interested, just check the box that says, I want more information. How can I be involved? And I hope all of you come over. You're going to miss a great meal and a great time if you don't come over to the West Wing immediately following this. So invite you all.
It truly is an adventure that Jesus has invited us on. It truly is. And to be a part of what he's doing around the world and over in West Africa, it's just absolutely amazing. So consider how you can be involved. Also, when you leave today, our local missions effort, Day of Hope, Operation Day of Hope, and you've heard us talk about it. Last year, over 1,000 guests came onto our campus here and received 100% free services from dental care that includes all levels of dental care from extractions to teeth cleaning and so on, available food, spa services, photography, everything, and you can help, and we need your help, and the ladies are at the kiosk in the back. It's called Operation Day of Hope. Hope that you can join us next week. Start a brand new series called Echo. Echo means your life makes a difference, my life makes a difference. We'll be talking about that over the next number of weeks. All right. That's a whole lot. Father, thanks for today, for the opportunity to come together again, to worship you, to give you thanks for what you're doing in the world today, globally and locally, and for the invitation that you have given to each one of us to be a part of what you're doing. God, it's really a command, and I thank you for that. As we go into the world, Lord, with this good news, people's lives are changed. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you next Sunday. God bless you.